In eastern Ukraine, ammunition is in short supply for Ukrainian forces who have been begging NATO for help. Today, NATO leaders met in Brussels. Here's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg.
We are extremely focused on stepping up, providing more support, more advanced weapons, and also to do that in the best possible way for the Ukrainians, because we support them in their just fight against the brutal Russian invasion.
As the fighting drags on, some Ukrainians are having to adapt to Russian occupation. Let's go to Isabel Kershudian once again. She's Ukraine bureau chief for our partners at The Washington Post. Hi, Isabel.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. NATO leaders pledged again to provide more advanced weapons and ammunition for the Ukrainian forces. How is that landing in Kyiv, where you are?
Yeah, I mean, I think Ukrainians are very, very eager to get any sort of weaponry at this point. They've been pretty clear that they are severely outgunned right now in the east. Part of the issue is that for the majority of the weapon systems that Ukraine uses, it needs Soviet-era munitions. And those are in short supply all over Eastern Europe. You know, countries that would have them, they're out themselves. So then they have enough munitions for the Western rocket systems, but they don't have enough of the, you know, rocket systems themselves. So Ukraine's kind of desperate for help in that sense. And it's obviously a difficult situation there with now Severodonetsk really coming under mostly, you know, Russian control at this point.
Yeah. Isabel, you did a lot of reporting on a Russian-occupied region in the south, Kherson, and I want to ask you about that. You spoke to a woman you're identifying as Tatiana. How does she get by day to day?
Yeah, she really tries not to leave her home. She said it's really, you know, scary there. On the one hand, you know, you're hearing, you know, artillery kind of exchange and booms in the distance from, you know, the Ukrainians and Russians are continuing to fight there, even if the area is Russian occupied. The Ukrainians are obviously trying to get it back. And then, you know, just on the streets themselves and, you know, in Kherson city, you know, pharmacies aren't open, stores aren't open. People can't get very basic medicine supplies. They're able to get some groceries at like the Soviet style markets where people sell things out of, you know, the trunks of their cars. And there was a lot of paranoia and fear. People are noticing that a lot of, you know, prominent activists and other, you know, pro-Ukrainian figures have just simply disappeared and they don't know where they are. People are worried that, you know, Russian FSB, which is kind of the successor to the KGB, that those agents are kind of around in plain clothes and listening. So, you know, it's a very difficult situation for people who live there.
And yet, despite this occupation and the presence of Russian forces, as you say, some of them are not uniformed, there is a measure of resistance to the occupation. What have you learned about that?
Yeah, I think there is a partisan kind of movement. You know, I think Ukrainians, we've seen this all over the country, but in occupied areas too, they're not just going to take this lying down. You know, for those who don't want to be part of Russia, they're really adamant about fighting back. So we know of a cafe that there was an explosion there. It was near where kind of the, you know, Russian installed government is headquartered. And that was believed to be, you know, an explosion that partisan kind of group set off. And, you know, we've heard of pamphlets, you know, being around town, also kind of pictures of people that are considered, you know, by Ukrainians to be collaborators or, you know, quite frankly, traitors. So there is kind of a, you know, shadow resistance movement going on there.
Yeah. And in the little bit more than a minute we have, Isabel, last month you reported on one family's journey to bury their 13-year-old daughter. Can you share a little bit of that story with us?
Yeah, it's tough to do in a minute because it's so complex. But, you know, this girl and her mother and younger sister tried to leave an occupied village. Their car came under, you know, fire from the Russians. The mother and baby sister ended up back in the occupied area, and the girl's body was separated. She died, the 13-year-old girl, Sophia. And her relatives, the only relatives who could bury her, lived on another part of the front line. So volunteers had to transfer the body. Mm. Where she was buried is now under Russian occupation in, you know, eastern Ukraine in the Donbas region.
Yeah. Isabel Krochudian, Ukraine Bureau Chief for our partners at the Washington Post. Thanks for your reporting and take care.
Thank you.